Greetings, and bienvenue, Midnight Crew. Thank you for returning to this broadcast. And welcome to new viewers joining us for the first time. If you like a video, then feel free to subscribe.
I had a pretty eerie dream that I was taken from my bed and inducted into a secret society. I was picked up out of my bed and escorted through my home and put into the back of a very old styled stagecoach drawn by a black horse. All the members were wearing black satin robes with red trim and looked like they had Renaissance-era tunics, boots, gloves, etc. on underneath, and cowls over their faces, reminiscent of executioner hoods with slits for the eyes. One thing I noticed about the men who took me away is that they all wore chains with key pendants as necklaces, and each member had a different key. They were swirly and varied in color from brass to copper to pewter, all with a rustic patina as if they were hundreds of years old. See pic related for some similar styling for a better visual. My grandfather was a locksmith and collected old locks and keys, and I loved playing with them as a child. In any case, as I entered the buggy, a hood was put over my head, akin to the likeness of my ravisseurs, minus the eye slits. I felt the bumps of cobblestone beneath the wooden wheels as the horse trotted along the streets during twilight hours. Before I knew it, I was removed from the coach, stumbling due to being unable to see, and was pushed to a cave on the side of a mountain. This cave had a large wooden door, similar to what would be seen in a medieval dungeon. It was made of a very thick, hard, dark wood, and had brass linings weathered with a heavy patina. It was obviously something of great quality, and clearly hid something greater than just a cave. The entrance was opened with an audible creak which echoed throughout the forest, and the dim light of the moon shone just enough for me to see another door behind the first, but this one looked modern. It was metallic in structure, a port that would have been the envy among commercial bankers and vault keepers. Two of the hooded men forced the heavy door open and I was rushed into a monolithic room, skillfully carved from the mountainside. No words, and there had been very little speech during the entirety of my journey. What I had heard sounded like a cut-up dialect of vulgar Latin, a potentially engineered cant among the hooded men that I couldn't quite comprehend. As I was pushed through shoulders first into the room, torches were lit by members in a circle and I was pushed to my knees. I could see, adorning the circular lining of the ceiling, just a little under 2 meters high, were Latin phrases with crude spelling. Clavis aurea was one that stuck out, which I assume was a rough variant of the classical Latin clavis aurea, literally translating to golden key. But the context is applied to the discovery of hidden and/or mysterious meanings in texts, especially those of a theological, philosophical, or alchemical stock. The largest lettering consisted of raised stone text reading, Fraternitatum Clavicaris, obviously a cognate of Brotherhood of Key and Locksmiths. I hadn't taken Latin in years, but this is some rudimentary stuff. Anyway, a wooden box was placed in front of me, and on it were numerous brass nuggets attached to small metal posts to act as pivot points for the pieces to spin. As they spun, others would spin as well as if they were attached, and only spinning them in the proper sequence would solve this strange puzzle I was given. Solve. A stern voice spoke up from behind a mask. I looked at the box and looked around at everyone else. I was in awe at what was going on until I heard the crackling of the deep speech once more, but this time louder and more angry. Solve! Solve! I could feel my heartbeat racing as I looked down at the box presented to me. I started to flip pieces until I found the proper algorithm. It didn't take long and it was common sense once you figured it out. I wish I could draw a picture of it because I had never seen anything like it. As I solved it, the pieces fell into the box. The top unhinged and a key, similar to those worn around the necks of everyone around me, lie alone in the box. Take. I was instructed, this time in a less abrasive manner. Just as I had wrapped my fingers around the key, with a swish of two robes, two members of the Brotherhood had grabbed each of my arms and pulled me to my feet. The, seemingly head figure stood before me and pulled off his mask. His face reminded me of my grandfather from when he was alive, but with a few minor differences. Maybe my brain was trying to recreate his image but struggled since it had been well over 10 years since he died. Continuing to speak in short, choppy commands, he asked me, strugglingly so, if I would partake in an apprenticeship. Of course I obliged, partly out of curiosity and partly out of fear of what these strange men in cloaks would do to me if I declined. Just as quickly as I was brought into this strange place, I was removed. We returned outside where I was cloaked in what reminded me of burlap dyed black. My attire, given to me from an old oaken wardrobe from within our tomb, consisted of a tunic, mask, pants, and sandals made of the same ropey, hemp-like material. I was now in new garb and was quickly instructed to follow two of the unnamed men into the woods, towards a trail that was unfamiliar to me, despite the fact that the scenery looked identical to the region in which I currently reside. I stuck close as we crept through the tree line by the light of the moon and watched a large SUV drive by. It seemed to stop at a small shack, and men clad in suits and Freemason aprons stepped out and into the small building, dimly lit with red lamps. I was instructed to follow as we bounded past the trail near the vicinity of the structure. I remember hearing someone shout something about a supreme order before one of the men got underneath the vehicle parked outside, engaged in an activity of which I was not a part. As we sat motionless, within earshot yet still outside of the visual spectrum of the men in the outpost, I was able to hear the fearful questioning of children asking when they'd be allowed to leave. This went on for what felt like a long time, until whatever ritual was completed and the men returned to their vehicle, which was parked next to a ravine by the mountain, roughly 30 or 40 meters above a creek bed. The car started, sputtered, and moved forward towards a nearly 90-degree curve, but it wasn't steering, nor was it stopping. The speed picked up as the vehicle disappeared into the night, yet the sounds of it rolling over multiple times drowned out the faint screaming from the men trapped inside. The last associate who stood with me pointed towards them. I instinctively traversed in the direction of the crash and slowly climbed my way down the mountain diagonally. It was very steep, and I could see the lifeless bodies of the men sitting in the SUV. I had to make sure they were dead and then made my way back to the building. As I approached along the side of the same tree line near the road we had walked before, my partner was leading three children, presumably recaptured from the building from earlier, towards the same wagon which had taken me from my home only moments before. They were rushed in and sent off with two of our own members into the night, but seemed happy to see such creepy men in strange robes. Everything after that is mostly a blur.
I think I've always been destined to be a part of the Hollywood elite. I love movies since childhood and have always dreamed about being famous, doing something entertaining like movies, music, or romance novels. I feel like my inclinations and personality match pretty well with the entertainment elite, and that some of them would want to be my friend, although I'm not politically aligned. I know there are sacrifices to be taken if you want to be a part of this kind of shit, and I'm willing to do anything for my dream, sell my soul, and whatever. I'd be one of those guys who would willingly take the gold Tyrian indigo pill, if you understand me. Or maybe we should create a new kind of pill taken by people who just want to be celebrities, no matter what. Does the Illuminati exist, or is it just a conspiracy spread to obfuscate the truth? Because if it did, it would make this way easier. Is there no secret society thing? Is it all really just market interests? Does joining the Freemasonry Lodge of my local city would serve the same purpose? Help me get at least a little bit closer to this objective, or learn how, or is it just not how it works anymore? I have great ideas, but no money, energy to make it happen, or connections at all. I even believe those ideas and other things I have would be of their interest.
I've been debating for a while if I should share this dream I had, and maybe it's a bad idea if I do. It's always left me with a feeling that I shouldn't, but it left such an impression on me that I had to share it here to see if anyone else has experienced something similar. So the story I'm about to tell is 100% a dream I had told to the best of my ability. Obviously, it's hard to remember all the details from a dream, but I remember this one better than most, and it has stayed with me longer than any other dream. The dream started in a dark, dimly lit nightclub, dark-colored chairs and tables, people talking to one another and dressed in dark colors and dressed well. A waitress approaches me, and I'm suddenly a bit interested because she is beautiful and alluring. She leans towards me and quickly draws a symbol on my forehead, quickly by tracing with her finger. Instantly, there is like a pop and an awakening of something like an inner eye. She makes a comment to the effect of, "Enjoy your one night." Before my eyes, almost like a heads-up display, a menu and sort of a floor map appears of the basement of this building. I'm not exactly sure how I knew, but it was implied that there was access to illegal material or perhaps worse in this facility. It also made clear that if you had interest in employment, that it would also be available. An elevator door opens behind me and I get in and it takes me down. From this point on, I'm not exactly sure of the order in which I see things, but I'll do my best. I enter what looks like a government of expensive office building. It has a dark and polished look to it, lots of black polished marble or granite, metal and glass. I see a room filled with office cubicles with about 100 plus people working on computers. Somehow it's explained to me that they are looking for creative individuals for some unknown purpose in this department. The underground building is large and hard to navigate. I sort of wander around the building looking around, going up and down the floors. Of this I don't remember much. One room I found was probably related to the illegal material that was offered. It was like a small library with stacks of DVDs which had different descriptions relating to illegal material. The DVDs were disguised as random, unassuming movies, perhaps to disguise their contents if they were checked out. The illegal material didn't interest me, because that's not my thing, and I didn't touch or grab any of the contents of the library. There were other men milling around this room, and I sort of got a vibe that this room was a test. When you gain access to this building, are you simply drawn in by the simple prize? Or do you seek the greater prize of employment was the vibe that I got the longer I was in this underground building. Despite my dislike of the illegal activities going on in this place, there was a feeling of power and wealth that was incredibly enticing that could be felt. In one main lobby, there was an ATM, where it seemed as though anyone could check their bank balance, and again, it was heavily implied that working for this society would net even the lowest worker with tens of thousands of dollars a day or week, deposited right into their bank account. Now, from here, my dream takes a jump in my recollection. I don't remember if there is a lead-up or if I just jump to this next memory. I find myself in a small, dark room, almost like the interrogation room in a police station. I'm in the room with a young woman, probably aged about 18, maybe 20. Somehow, it's my job to restrain or control her. At one point, she breaks free and starts to thrash and attack me. In the scuffle, I end up killing her. I'm not a violent person in real life, and I could never see myself killing anyone for the record. After this scenario plays out, it seems as though our time at this place is over, and we are being led out down a dark forest path out of the facility. I walk with a group of other people, and we walk without any feeling or emotion as though we are assassins. As we walk down the path, we see the dead bodies of a few women, but not one of us is fazed by it or show any reaction. After that, I woke up. It's been about a month and I still haven't been able to shake the things I've seen. It's hard to forget the feeling of power and wealth I saw. There is a bit of inner conflict inside of me after the dream. On one hand, I'm a person who wants to help people and never want to hurt people if I can avoid it. At the same time, the allure and desire to be a part of something so powerful was a constant thought for at least a week. I've never had any dream like this before, and after a month, I've never dreamed of it again. It makes me wonder if it was real and maybe a simulation or test to find potential candidates to join or work for them. Maybe there was a test, and I failed some portion of it for better or for worse. It's of course very possible that this is just a random dream. This is post-Island Man being killed, so there was plenty about Minecraft, YouTubers, and secret societies to inspire a dream. I'm curious if anyone else has had a similar dream where they were granted access to this building and what their experience was if they did.
Something weird happened today. I woke up to a message from my mom that my aunt had a stroke at dawn. That's weird, I thought. I just had a dream about my aunt. In the dream, she was having this massive party at her house, and the dream ended in me being chased by some killers a la Harry Potter broom chase. Anyways, that wasn't the weird part. I told my dad the news, and he told me that during the night he experienced something creepy. I had been out with some friends, so I got home really late, so it wasn't me who did the weird shit. Dad swears he heard my mother in the living room going, "Yeah, sure, okay," or something along those lines, clear as day. To the point where he thought my mother had gotten home. She was out at a beach house with her part of the family that was pretty far away. That's not the kicker, though. Our dogs usually sleep in my parents' bed, and that night wasn't the exception. My dad saw my dogs going over to the edge of the bed as if they'd heard something and were waiting for someone to come into the room. At this point, my dad is 100% sure that my mom got home, but all he's asking himself is why the hell she left the beach house at such an ungodly hour. After a while, though, the dogs go back to sleep, and here's where my dad gets weirded out. Normally, when a guest arrives, our dogs are waiting impatiently at the end of the bed, tails wagging and sometimes even barking. But they didn't do any of that. So Dad goes out of his room, creeped out of his mind, to see no lights in the house on. Just silence and darkness. He thinks about calling out for my mom, but he's afraid of what would answer the call. He goes back to bed and says he doesn't fall asleep for a good hour. Have you guys had experiences with disembodied voices? Do you think what happened was malignant or just a slip through space and time? P.S. I added the aunt story because I thought it was weird. It all happened at once.
I just had this dream, and I'm starting to forget it at a rapid pace, but basically, all that I can remember is that I was with people whose faces I don't remember anymore, in some kind of building, and I was really excited because we managed to get initiated and become Freemasons. I remember that I saw a group of suspicious-looking people around the hotel and somehow managed to discern that they were a group of Freemasons as well, just from a different area. I was about to go up and introduce myself because I remembered one of the rules is to be kind to your brothers. However, they suddenly came forward and pretty much beat the shit out of us. At first I was confused, but then I realized it might have been due to the fact that we were openly discussing Freemasonry. However, I remembered that it wasn't considered a secret society and became confused again. Then stuff gets jumbled, and I remembered that I was at my new house with the people who I was with initially and my family. I remember that it was a nice house with flowers on the side that grew occasionally. I think my dreams mixed together sometimes, and every so often we'd cut them and give them to somebody whom I can't remember. My aunt ended up watering and mowing the lawn one morning, and I looked out and saw she was mowing inside the flower bed and only left a few flowers untouched. I was upset and told my mother, and then suddenly my aunt came in and showed me the flowers that she dug up beforehand. "Your stepdad planted them, and you know he's crazy. Who knows what kind of negligence these flowers received?" "Ah, true," I responded and accepted it. She said she was going to rebury them, and hopefully they'd grow more. My mum was happy because she said there were 64 seeds in total that she bought, and this way each colour will grow one at a time, and then we can clip all the colours, give them to someone, and they'll grow again. There were only 4 colours of flowers, and it was odd to me that a singular flower had numerous seeds. Confusing, but in the dream it made sense, and that's just how flowers worked. For good measure, I went outside and took the hose and sprayed the flower bed gently so that it'd grow. Then everything got jumbled again, and I ended up in the basement with the people I was with. Suddenly, we turned to League of Legends champions and were fighting against each other 4 volts, 4. However, my friend who was using the champion Urgot used his ultimate ability and somehow revealed a room, which is confusing because his ult just suppresses and replaces someone with his location. That was in my basement and hidden by a force field. I went in there as Vega and was like, "Holy shit, guys," and we all transformed back into our human selves to see the commotion. Apparently, it was a children's room for a secret child named John. I remember opening the drawer and seeing a hologram of tiny kid clothes and hearing a giggle. Then I woke up. It was really fucking weird and jumbled, but a few things make sense. 1. I looked up Freemasonry on /X/last night for a short while. 2. I just moved to Indiana in a tiny house with a creepy basement and a shitload of unkempt flowers on the side. 3. I play League of Legends all the time religiously. 4. Be kind to your brothers was probably from a movie I recently watched called The Conspiracy. The rest of it I have no explanation for, nor do I understand why everything would come together like that.
Need to get this out of my system. When I was 10, Jesuits in the elite school I attended with a scholarship introduced me to what I could only describe as a demonic child, gigantism, autistic gait and yellow eyes, named Francesca. This occurred in the spring of 2013 and led to a most regrettable incident. Later I was tortured, then left in a cage, also led to drug-induced dreamlike simulation while in some kind of EEG electroencephalogram machine. Recently I've suffered gang stalking after attempting to escape the soft entrapment I allowed myself into after wasting my teenage years being a lazy, depressed fuck. I recall some sort of gate programs in second and third grade, audio tapes, 7-Up heads down, checkers, ESP cards, algebra classes. I was good at writing backwards but increasingly terrible at socializing. I would like to think they probably sugarcoated me before the other kids, however some of my schoolmates seemed to resent and be overly aggressive with me in a way that almost felt scripted. Teachers and mom always told me to shrug it off. Mom beat me up after seeing me preparing to jump out of the 7th floor window aged 8, went to therapy, tried telling her about trauma and what I now see were dissociative episodes and panic attacks. She told me to shrug it off. But she was interested in the minor details of some sleep paralysis and astral projection nightmares I had with a horrifying skinned human figure with a striking voice. It showed me glimpses of the future, entrapped me in mazes, and showed horrible scenes of gore. I vaguely remember witnessing people being burned alive in Roman-style pagan festivities. They occurred in some former colonial plantations. I live in Brazil, if that's relevant. At night. They had us run over a mud-drenched trail and fast all day, then eat an absurd amount of food. I recall feeling high afterwards. Those were all 6 to 8-something-old kids from elite schools from here, closely watched by masked handlers. I remember being led to some party at a lake manor by people wearing prop masks of my mother and stepfather. Something there made me try to escape and run through the woodland nearby, failing. The place was full of giant snails, wondering if it was a pest or part of the act. Whole memory has an aching feeling to it. I was 5 or 7. I don't know how to phrase this without sounding delusional, self-absorbed, and solipsistic, but I see many specific aspects of my life in specific mediums. For example, a false god appeared to me as a static, smiling face. I also always drew myself as a bird-faced figure when a small kid and named one of my personas Pim Plum. Oddly, like some manga I've heard other Gen Z talk about. One creepy incident occurred back in second grade while visiting the twins who insisted on being my friends, and I stopped talking to them after realizing they were part of it. Their parents gave me a red cape for some reason, a lot like that Butterfly Effect movie. Speaking of it, kids at school knew about my time maze nightmares for some reason and made jokes about it. This sort of behavior from my peers continued till high school. I remember waking at a hospital after the whole Francesca ordeal. It was the penultimate time they gave me the pink cup. The last one was when my mom tried to drown me in a waterfall when I was 11. She had done it before, but this time got extremely angry. I refused her and complained it was the last day we could make it work. Told me to drink it or she would be killed. She was a terrible narcissistic parent. The 20-something gigolo that dated my grandma insisted I was monitored more than once, even calling me Golden Egg Goose. Caught my family seeing some very shady stuff about me at times, calling me a lab rat, half-minded. I tried dropping out of college and moving out of town this February. Ended up homeless for 3 weeks. All the hobos that interacted with me in the shelter I ended up were clearly time-wasting actors, all named Jefferson for some reason. My family found me the day I would have amassed enough money to rent a flat. Social services at the shelter asked me if it was true I was in a watch list at my age. Ha 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 ha. The whole street theater and BS over the years, why? So is that it? What am I?
The only advantage the elite have over you is their wealth and ancestral knowledge. If you just started ascending on your own, you could have more knowledge than they have in about 10 years. They are arrogant and are just living off the successes of their ancestors. They have a disadvantage because they don't understand how blind they actually are due to their ideology. Some humans have reptilian or gray bloodlines, but they don't have as many advantages as you might suppose. Reptilians tend to intensely hate themselves for being human. They wallow in self-pity unless they find a way to embrace the nobility of their heritage. Greys incarnate as some of the lowest people in society, using stereotypes and expected social norms to fit in because they don't know how to act human of their own volition. The moon is just a moon. You can visit it if you want. There are holographic moons, so make sure you get to the real one. It has old roads carved into it, but has been abandoned for millions of years. Your spirit can travel the whole universe. If the moon gives you trouble, just go a little bit farther. It's really the first rung of a ladder for ascending out into space. The only reason you don't remember your past lives is because you are a pleb that hasn't figured out how to visit them. Here is a tip. The dreams that you discard as useless are capable of taking you to any moment of history. You often dream through an entire cycle of time on a regular basis. Sometimes you might go through your entire past history on Earth in one night. Sometimes you might visit it over a period of years or a lifetime. It's up to you. If you want 4 days' knowledge, then stop hypnotizing yourself with TV and memes and start paying attention to reality. You have all the ingredients for success if only you would stop victimizing yourself because you are afraid of hidden forces. Beating them would make you stronger than they are. It's now easier than ever.
I hope that you enjoyed tonight's broadcast. If you enjoyed tonight's story, then please subscribe to the channel as more green texts will appear daily. A new broadcast will appear when the clock strikes midnight Central Time.
Remember to check the Odyssey and Rumble pages for separate archives of previous broadcasts.